Welcome back to the Book of Psalms, everyone. In Psalm 124, we continue the climb up the second of five hills here in the Songs of Ascents. Remember that each set is three psalms, and we are halfway up climb number two. And Psalm 124 finds us looking back at the valley just behind us and realizing just how dangerous it was. When it comes to enemy attack, the low ground is always the dangerous one, ever exposed, ever prone to ambush. But in Psalm 124, we've escaped, just barely. You know, there's a lot of great survival songs. 70s, I Will Survive. 80s, Eye of the Tiger by the band Survivor. 2000s, I'm a Survivor, either the Destiny's Child song or the Reba song. 2010s, Titanium. Clearly a popular topic. The big difference here is that the strength to survive didn't come from me. It was all God. Now, this one was written by David, and David is all too familiar with escaping serious danger, basically his life story. And this was a fitting song for the Israelites to sing on those journeys back to Jerusalem. The feasts were about remembering what God did. At Pentecost, they thanked God for the harvest and faithful provision. At Tabernacles, they spent a week camped out in tents to remember God's provision through the many years of their desert wandering. And of course, Passover is the celebration of God's great rescue from slavery in Egypt. So as the Israelites made the long trek to the feast, this psalm set a fitting tone. That tone is amazed and a bit dumbstruck at what we just escaped. Listen as we read the first half. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Wow. For me, this is that sort of feeling you get when you can't believe you just walked out of that alive. You look at each other, then look back at what you just got out of. Guys, we should be dead. Now, I'm not much of a risk taker, so I have limited experience here. There was a time in high school when I was on a tour of Aztec pyramids in Mexico with my Spanish class, and I was falling way behind. So I picked up my pace coming down the many steps on the pyramid of the moon. I was flying down when right about 14 feet from the bottom, the next step was worn and rounded off. My foot turned and my momentum sent my upper half rotating down while my lower half stayed put. I saw nothing but solid rock steps coming at me fast. And before I could even think, instinct kicked in and I jumped outward. A quick whoosh and I hit the ground hard, but on my feet. It hurt, but I made it. I looked around. No one saw. I looked back at the steps. That could have killed me. That should have killed me. How did I do that? That feeling is what Psalm 124 feels like. I'm sure many of you have had moments more hair-raising than mine, and realizations far more soul-shaking. David certainly had his share. Only David recognizes something I hadn't yet realized back then. Back in verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side, the realization that God is with you is a pretty deep thing to come to grips with. Like, the Lord, the creator of the whole universe, the one who fashioned my very soul, all our souls, was right here by our side. How are we all not blown away by that right now? Have you ever had that realization, but no one else does? That's why David stops mid-sentence to get all Israel to say it with him. Let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. Four times, David uses the phrase would have. He's a warrior. He's led many battles, but he's rewinding the tapes and realizing there's no way we should have survived this one. He looks back on the attack that came against them. It was a flood, a torrent. Raging waters should have swept us away. Guys, do you get this? And here's what strikes me about David. He does get it. He always sees it. He recognizes through everything that it was always God, and he acknowledges it and remembers it. Sometimes we miss how rare that is, how prone we all are to taking God's rescue for granted, or just forgetting. Be honest, how often do you actually remember that Jesus saved your life, that your own sin rose up against you to destroy you, and it could do it? The flood, the torrent, the raging waters would have swallowed us alive. But Jesus stepped in to rescue us. And that's what the feasts were about, remembering what God did. Remember God's rescue. For us, it's communion that reminds us. And I think the tone and heart of Psalm 124 are a good reminder when we take the bread and the cup. We're still alive. We shouldn't be, but we're alive. So in verse 6, praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. The imagery is vivid. Looking back at what they just got out of, David sees the vicious teeth of a beast snapping just behind them. He sees himself like a bird flying up, only to look back down and see the snare of a fowler that was designed to trap him, to kill him. But there it is, broken. And here we are, free. We are free. Now, the theme here is escape. So is that an important theme elsewhere in the Bible? Noah escaped the flood. Lot escaped Sodom, barely. The grand story of the Exodus and God rescuing his people from captivity. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tossed into the furnace of fire, only to find a fourth man in the fire, one like the Son of God. Daniel tossed into a lion's den for a full night, but escaping unscathed. And it's David himself who lives the escape more than any other. The word escape comes up 17 times in his stories. Into the New Testament, in Acts 12, Peter was locked up with two chains and sentries on watch. But an angel showed up, and the chains fell off. They passed one set of guards, then a second, and walked right out. Then Acts 16 finds Paul and Silas locked up in a prison and singing praise songs when an earthquake shakes the whole place and every door in the jail flies open and all the chains unfasten. Clearly, the Bible is telling us something. This is big. God's rescue, our escape. And Peter picks up that thread in his second letter to the church. He reminds us of Noah and Lot and others, and he tells us that if God could save them, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. Back here in Psalm 124, David's dumbstruck wonder looking back now gives way to confident assurance looking ahead. In the final verse, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help. We were in danger. We needed help, and God showed up. Our help is in his name. And why in his name? Always remember two things about name in the Bible. It's personal, and it represents character. Our help is in his name because we know him personally. We call on the one we know. And our help is in his name because helper is who he is. It's his nature and character to rescue. When you call on the name of Jesus, you call to the one whose name literally means the Lord saves. Our salvation is in the maker of heaven and earth. Read Psalm 124. Look back at your own rescue and be amazed.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.